Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Boys and girls, welcome to the Balance Less Gary Snyder Show. Hey, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us on a Monday morning, day before Election Day across a lot of the United States. And so glad that you could join us. And myself and Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show are going to be breaking down politics for the next 2 days. We're going to give you so much politics, I tell you what, you're not going to be able to stomach it. And actually, one of the things that we're working on right now is really trying to bring home the election returns for you tomorrow here across the state of Indiana. So make sure that you join us as we bring the returns back to you. So when we get right back, sorry about that. When we get back, we're going to be diving right into the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio across the nation. So glad that you could join us on a Monday. Thanks for starting your week with us right here. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, boys and girls, welcome back to the Balance Less Gary Snyder Show. Hi, my name is Tom Marquis. So glad that you could join us, start your week off right here. We're getting ready to catch up with the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT in Marion. And we're going to break down a lot of politics this next half hour. And then, of course, at 5:30, coming up is Jimmy the Intern. Jimmy Kavanaugh is going to break down what I thought was a fantastic game between Indiana University and Ohio State. And I think Indiana held with them all game long. Now, the thing about it is, you know, maybe it's too little, too late. I don't know. But we'll certainly dive into that and see if IU can really turn around their season. And obviously tomorrow being Election Day, we've got a lot to talk about on that. My name is Tom Marquis. So glad that you could join us right here on a Monday morning. get back, we'll jump right in with the Gary Snyder Show.
Here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we join our friends at the Balance Radio Network and Tom Marquis, I need to tell you about my experience in trying to buy carpet. And when I was trying to buy carpet, I did what everybody else probably does. I went and checked out all of the big, huge, is there any other adjective? Home improvement box stores, and found something was missing. Service. And if you've tried that, you know what I'm talking about. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylo, Shaw, and the list goes on and on, they also had that special and tangent, that something that was missing from all of those big box stores. That's great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you are looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens, and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion, Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They wouldn't have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. Call 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for that free estimate, or you can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Or just go on into their newly expanded store at 1940 Aetna Avenue, just up the road in Huntington. All right, Tom, welcome.
And it's good to be here on a Monday.
A rainy Monday, I might add.
Well, at least it's not as rainy and gloomy as it is for Dr. Conrad Murray. Well, you know what? I have mixed emotions about that, and I know that's not really our topic at hand, but
We really have nothing to cover at this point. I wanted to, rant a little about the whole political process, but, you know, hey, we can do that after we talk about Dr. Conrad Murray getting his chance to play doctor in prison.
Well, here's the thing. The drugs that he was able to pull out of the hospital, nobody else would be able to do it but him for Michael Jackson. And I guess it just goes to a whole different conversation that when you have that type of stardom and that type of celebrity status, you can pretty much do anything. My question, I wonder, would be, would he be found? Here's the thing. It'd be like a doctor giving me Vicodin and saying, okay, take two a day or whatever Vicodin is. I've never taken it. I'm just using it. I know that that's a very addictive drug. And I take four a day. And then one day I overdose on it. I don't know that the doctor can really be that responsible for it. That's part one. Part two, the fact was brought up that maybe he wasn't a legitimate bona fide doctor. Well, then there again, how was he able to get such a powerful drug out of a hospital? And number three, knowing Michael Jackson's history and the eccentric person that he is, and without getting into all the charges and all the criminal activity, just Michael Jackson in general, because I don't think our listeners really care that much about Michael Jackson being alive or dead. But I think because it was Michael Jackson, and because it was another California TV played out drama, I think that people do things to get money, like we were just talking about with our other guest. I think he gets off on appeals and jurors get rich. That's just my opinion on it all.
Isn't that what it's all come down to these days, is money? I mean, let's take a look. Go back a little bit to Gloria Allred, which, you know, I kind of equated her to the white woman's version of Al Sharpton, which I think makes a lot of sense there for anybody who's paid attention to Gloria Allred. You know, it all comes down to money. If this woman and Gloria Allred did not think she could get money from someone, somehow, somewhere, some way, shape, or form, this would have never even made any headlines today.
Oh. I tell you what, I was listening to these sound bites today from her, I was amazed and appalled at the same time that someone like Gloria Allred, who supposedly is a super lawyer, how do they uncover these people, first of all? I know how they uncover them. They begin to say, oh, well, hey, I worked with them as every woman that ever worked for Kane in Godfather's Pizza area is now going to come forward. Every one of them. And why did they not come forward at all? Not at all. And she said it herself. I'm not making this up. These were her words in the soundbite. I didn't want to be here today. The only reason I came out today was because of all the other women who have came out against Kane. I mean, where's the credibility on? So to me, I think that helps Kane. I think that maybe, you know, we were talking about a different decade. Not that it was right then and it's wrong now or whatever, but you know as well as I know that in the 90s, as opposed to now, the PC-ness of sexual harassment, bad jokes in the workplace, you know, it was the norm. And bad jokes in the workplace are now. And it, you know, women could say, oh, I heard him tell that joke and I'm offended by it. And a manager's got to sit you down and say, hey, these are our rights and responsibilities as a company for sexual harassment. That's why once a year you got to watch a video and sign your name on it that you've watched a video about sexual harassment. That wasn't prevalent in 1995, 97, or whatever it was. All this is an attempt. And I like our last guest. I know she's on a lot, so certainly it was nothing against her. But I just, again, I find Politico breaks the story and then sets back and says, what? I did this? I didn't. I think Politico has
much
part.
First of all, you know, putting your hand up someone's skirt is not the norm. But did that even happen? If it happened,
exactly.
You know, my guess is she should have came forward a long time ago to, I guess, make this known, not waiting for the opportunity when he is running for president. And that's the problem with a lot of these cases. They wait, and nothing would have ever been known about this if he were not running for president. So just the fact that she waited this long and then went up there and put her pie hole on the same TV screen as Gloria Allred, there's not a lot of credibility there with me.
Oh, and I totally agree. Here's the thing. If you want my opinion, because you're going to get it anyway, Here's the thing. I think that there was some situation that I don't know if he put his hand up her skirt or not. I don't know. I mean, obviously I wasn't there, and obviously she herself. And the statement says she has no intention of filing any type of claim or any type of suit against Kate. The time for her to make money off of this was then when she was with Godfathers, and they would have given her a $30,000 settlement or whatever it was that they were giving people that supposedly happened with this other person. And so here's what I think. I think that what this is – it goes right along with what we were talking about with our guest that's coming up in 60 minutes. The powerful have a way of manipulating the news. And the thing is, accusations go a long way when you're running for president. Whether or not – and Abdul said the same thing. Hire a private investigator. Have him go out there and say, this may pop up. This lady would have never popped up, ever. So there's no way he could – I think this is something that may have happened, and maybe he regretted, sit now and maybe realizes that he shouldn't have done it then. I think maybe it happened with one person. But I think if in fact he put his hand up her skirt, it was by invitation. It wasn't by, oh, well, I'm your boss, I'm your superior.
No, Tom, you can't really go there. You don't know that for a fact.
I know.
You know, men have been known to sexually harass. And the fact that Herman Cain, the company he worked for, has settled two accusations, throws that red flag up there. But waiting so long, it doesn't matter why she says from here on out, just doesn't fly with me. If you can hold on, we got to take a quick break, and apparently we'll have some more sexual harassment talk here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bring in your corn, we'll make some steam. Together we'll keep the environment green. Let's keep our future beautiful at Central Indiana Ethanol Fuel for the future.
Is harvest a stressful time? Let Central Indiana Ethanol make it a little less stressful by offering extended hours on-farm pickup, and they accept corn with up to 22% moisture, plus offer free lunches during the week. Choose CIE for a less stressful harvest, making harvest better. Central Indiana Ethanol.
Good evening. This is Diane with the Chicago Board of Trade.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Welcome back to the Balance/Gary Snyder Show. My name's Sal Marquis. Hey, it's so glad that you could join us. If you'd like to join the conversation, you're more than welcome. 917-889-8516. We're talking about Cain and sexual harassment. Did it happen? Do you think that it happened? I mean, what are your thoughts? We'd love to hear your thoughts when we join back up with the Gary Snyder Show coming up here at 5:30. We're gonna change tones quite a bit and talk about some IU football right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back. Of course, it's up political season, guys, and, you know, 1400 WBAT have to run all of those political commercials. So we'll be right back, and just bear with us right here on the Balance Radio Network, and we'll get right back into our conversation. Write down this digit, 917-889-8516. Let us know. Do you think that Kane sexually harassed women, or do you think that it's a ploy to let's just call it what it is, to basically make him look bad when he's trying to run for president?
Show on 1400 WBAT. Now, before we get back to Tom, Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall and all your snow removal needs this winter, including the Ariens snow throw snow blowers, Gravely mowers, and of course, they're still one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929. If you're doing the math, that's a really long time. If you're actually doing the math, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne and the surrounding area, which includes Marion and Huntington. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens snow throw snow blowers, Gravely and Hustler mowers. They even have the Echo chainsaws and leaf blowers in stock now, and a lot of them. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Call them now, 260-489-3391. You can drive up the road to Fort Wayne, visit their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road, or visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. And, of course, the best tagline ever, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. All right, Tom, you seem to have stirred the pot here with your, I guess, accusation that if it did happen, she was asking for it.
No.
And I would disagree. I think the fact that this woman came forward 15, 20 years later with Gloria Allred, she loses all credibility with me. But just to say that she was asking for it, I don't think passes the test.
No, you know, and here's fun. Let me make myself very clear, because I do have a tendency to stir the pot. Well, that's okay. But I also want to make sure I stir the pot in the right way. Now, I absolutely, by no means am I saying that is it right at any time, no matter what a woman wears or how it comes about, that they ask for it. Here's what I mean by that comment. One, I don't believe that it even happened at all, to be honest with you.
And Tom, that's where I would say I stand. I don't think it happened with her. Like I said, credibility gone with Gloria, Al Sharpton, Allred up there. But the fact still remains that the National Restaurant Association did settle two of these claims.
Yeah, and there again, remember, here's the thing. All I meant to say was that if it did happen, I don't think she was that worried about it at the time. And it goes right along. We're saying exactly the same thing. I just said it in a different way. I said, I think if it did happen, she knew it happened, and she was okay with it at the time. And now she sees an opportunity to capitalize on something that she agreed on in the beginning. That's what I said. Not that she asked for it and that it's appropriate for anybody to do such actions. But you're right. That's not something that happens in the workplace every day. And I don't think it even happened in the 1990s where superiors would just go around and put their hands up a woman's skirt without them making very strong accusations against them and that company at the time or very shortly after that it happened. I'm not saying that if it did happen, maybe she's got some sort of mental whatever going on.
Let's get to the crux of it here. She's after money. Whether it happened, whether it didn't happen, if you walk up there with the white woman version of Al Sharpton, that being Gloria Allred, then you're after one thing, that's money. Plain and simple, money.
And that's 100% right. And here's a quote from Allred. She says, "I, for one, am disgusted at Mr. Cain's serial sexual harassment of women because Mr. Cain, while running for president, is actively lying to Americans and showing disdain for our common sense and intellect." That is crap. That is absolute crap, and you know it. The only reason that this is being brought up is because Cain is running for president, and that's it.
Well, my guess is it probably wouldn't have even been brought up if the other accusations or the settlements had not come out. And you know, you got to give credit, because I did see one report where one of the women said, "I don't want any part of this. Keep me out of it." So you have to give that a little credibility with her. But you know, when it all comes down to it, Cain is running for president on the Republican presidential ticket, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number
mm-hmm.
two, the Republicans, the most loyal Republicans, the ones who vote in primaries, will make that decision. And number three, at some point, that electorate has to determine, you know, do we want Herman Cain? And if we want Herman Cain, can he beat Barack Obama with these accusations? And that's what it all comes down to eventually.
Well, and I think that's exactly right. I think that this is like I was talking about with our last guest. If he becomes the nomination and gets nominated, the entire party is going to surround him and say, you know, hey, we support him no matter what, and funnel everything to him. If it didn't happen, all of this becomes a moot point. So the thing about it is, supposedly, now this is the story that one of the stories that are floating around, that this was leaked by Perry's campaign to Politico. Politico then made a story about it without revealing sources. And then it got legs and it grew. And now Politico is standing back and say, what? I didn't do anything. Here's my thing. When you've got a news organization like Politico, which has a lot of friends in the GOP, knowing and looking at the big picture of the thing, we have to elect a president that can beat Barack Obama. Is these allegations going to hurt that? It will. It was basically a situation where they said, okay, we want to make Cain look bad. We want some pressure taken off Perry because Perry had his own issues going on with the campsite. So the thing is,
all right, hurry up and wrap it up, Tom. I got to do the news here.
I just think that this is all a bunch of ado about nothing. I think we're wasting our breath talking about it.
But it's fun to talk about. you know, it's politics, and we're right in the middle. I mean, let's be honest, the presidential political season officially gets started tomorrow at 6 p.m. when the polls shut here in Indiana. All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
All right, Well, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. I tell you what, this is one conversation that isn't going to go away at all. And like Gary said, it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about. And certainly, guys, here coming up after 6 o'clock, we can talk about it a little bit more if you want to talk about it. 917-889-8516. Also, if you guys have some IU questions, get those ready, because coming up right up here after the break, and we join the Gary Snyder Show live, Jimmy the Intern, Jimmy Cavanaugh, is going to talk with us about Indiana University making a trip out to Columbus. And in my opinion, I talked with Jimmy about this as well, played very, very well. And if they can keep this momentum going, do they have some wins in their future? I don't know. We'll find out right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right. Well, one good team at sports was the Indiana Hoosiers. At least I thought they played a lot better. And welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're going to be joining the Gary Snyder Show. That's because this is the Balance / Gary Snyder. And we're going to shift gears away from sexual harassment, Kane, presidential politics, the upcoming elections tomorrow across the state on local levels, and we're gonna talk about something that really matters, and that's IU football with Jimmy the Intern. And joining us right now is Mr. Jimmy Cavanaugh. Jimmy, how you doing, sir?
Tom, I'm not doing too bad. I heard you and Gary talking about Herman Cain and Rick Perry, and I'll tell you what, this is coming as somebody who wouldn't be averse to voting for a Republican if they put someone serious in a position to be elected. But, I mean, I know I'm the sports guy on here, but I got to tell you, I'm not feeling good about any of these guys. I mean, I feel like nobody the Republicans are putting out there is electable.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to find out more about it when we join Gary Snyder. We'll be right back we'll be going to join Gary Snyder on the Gary Snyder Show. Because this is the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. Jimmy, we'll be right back.
Off to run, but people say I'm the luckiest man. And yeah, they say running is useless, fighting is foolish. You're not gonna win, but still you're the luckiest man you're up against.
All right. We get back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Well, we get back to Tom and our intern, Jimmy, the intern, Jimmy Cavanaugh. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Flaco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Flaco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Flaco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Flaco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581, or you can visit them on the web at flaco.org. Flaco, they are a freight moving company. If you cannot remember that, all you need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. Head on over there. It is the center of the political and sports universe. And that is not an exaggeration. Hell, I had Al Roker on today. Come on. All right, Tom, Jimmy, are you there?
We are here and we're ready to go. You know what? During the break, Jimmy was jumping in on the political conversation with us, and he says he's really disturbed that who the Republican Party's even given as choices. He says right now there's nobody out there that he would vote for on the Republican side.
You know, I would, but I'd be holding my nose when I did it. And I'm telling you what, I used to think the only way to get phone calls here was to either say something to threaten to get you sued, which we did on Friday. Number two, ask a question about marijuana. And the third thing is to let Tom say that the woman was asking for it on a sexual harassment allegation.
I never said that. I never said that. What I said was
and she was asking for it.
I didn't say that. No, those were not my words. What I said was that she knew that it was happening.
All right, let's move on because I don't know. I don't even know if it's safe to walk out of the building now. All right, we had some football this weekend, and now, Jimmy, here's the question that I have to ask, and it's the question on everyone's mind, because you put you sent me a picture of the spread that you got up at Ohio State when it came to food, right?
Yep.
That is correct, right?
It was pretty glorious, yeah. I do recall
getting
those pictures.
And I put that up on Facebook and Twitter. But here's the thing. You had a McDonald's in that pile. I think a McDonald's cup. Did they have McDonald's up in the press box at Ohio State?
They had cinnamon swirls. They had cinnamon swirls, and they had McDonald's vanilla iced coffee. Those are the only two things for McDonald's. There are some press guys from IU who came up there last year were disappointed because they didn't have McFlurries. But, you know, for my purposes, the cinnamon swirl and the vanilla iced coffee was just fine. I had a couple of those.
Now, I have been on record as saying, I think the best press box food that I've had yet, Purdue puts out a good spread, but they pull it back as soon as the game starts. And then I liked Michigan's because they had a full concession stand up in the press box, and you had full free access to it. But now, you know, I might be rethinking that because if someone is going to put McDonald's up in the press box along with the regular spread, that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, it's just like real life in the Big Ten. It's all Michigan versus Ohio State. I mean, you know, IU's there. Iowa has a spread, from what I understand. There are different schools do different things. But right now, it looks like the two powerhouses in this conference are once again Ohio State and Michigan. And, you know, it would be interesting to see how different people thought they measured up. I think they're pretty close.
Did you see the spread he had, Tom?
Oh, I did. And I was looking for the Big Mac. That would have really put the icing on the cake. But, yeah. Absolutely, I did. I posted it on my page, too, as well. I posted it on the Balanced Fan page as well, too. So,
now, as we take a look at the last this past weekend in college football, I want to get into the IU game because I thought they played a very good game and actually probably had a shot at maybe even winning this game if not for a late interception and long touchdown run. But I want to right now go to the LSU-Alabama game and just talk BCS here for a second, because what the BCS has showed us is that regular season, while it means everything, it also means nothing for keeping Alabama ranked third after losing at home in the BCS standings and setting up a rematch, if you will, for another LSU-Alabama SEC showdown. Apparently, there is no other football other than the SEC.
Oh, I agree, 100%. I didn't know who you were directing that question to. But it certainly, here's the thing. In basketball, all the attention goes to the ACC. In football, all the attention goes to the SEC. And I think the BCS bowls are nothing more, again, about how much money can you raise, how many tickets can you sell, and we don't give a damn about your record. That's what I think. Just what I think. I'm afraid to say what I think anymore on your show, Gary.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, guys, in fairness, I will say that the SEC, you want to look at the national champions from the last 5 years or so, and you want to go Auburn. You can go Alabama the year before. Florida won the year before that. Then we had LSU. We've had Florida. These guys, you know, and Alabama, I believe, is in there again. These guys have won a lot of national championships. I think they've won every national title dating back to, I believe, 2006. I mean, they're on a bit of a roll. The best football in the country is played in the SEC. Now, while I do think that the game of the century, as it was called, definitely didn't live up to the hype, I was really disappointed that I had to sit there and watch that game, watch the Alabama kickers miss four field goals, go 2 of 6 on the game. I still think those are the two best teams in the country, because Oklahoma State's flawed, tragically. Boise State is undermanned against those guys, and we saw LSU play Oregon earlier this year, and they blew them out. They embarrassed them, and there is no other team in the country.
Let it be settled on the field. I mean, you had your opportunity. Number one, number two, you lost at home. Go to the back of the line behind all of the rest of the undefeated teams, including Stanford.
Well, they're still number three. Oklahoma State's still in front of them. If Stanford ends up, you know, doing pretty well these last few weeks, and if Alabama stumbles again, you know, that's a whole other matter. But Stanford right now doesn't look like a world beater. I don't think they're a top two team in the country. And as hard as it is to swallow, and as hard as it is to think about watching that travesty of a game on an even bigger stage, I don't know if there's a way around it, because it looks like those are the two best teams in the country.
All right, Jimmy, I'm awfully disappointed, because let them play it on the field. You had your chance. You lost. Go to the back of the line. Let the Oklahoma States, let the Stanfords, whomever, let them come forward and get their shot. You played at home. The game of the century, you lost. Go to the end of the line and let the other ones have their shot. If there are undefeated teams, which would include a Stanford or an Oklahoma State or a Boise State, no way do you put Alabama and Slick Saban ahead of them.
Well, Oklahoma State's still in. They're still in line, aren't they? I mean, they're number two in the country right now.
They are, but let's face it. When the BCS is all said and done, they will make sure. They know how to work the rankings. It'll still be by the end of the season, if everything stays at the default position with wins and losses, it will be LSU and Alabama 1 and 2 again by the time the BCS is done.
Now, hey, Gary, real quickly here, and I know we want to get over to IU, but I mean, really, I want to know how you can take a loss, whether it be from Oklahoma or Oregon, and say, oh, okay, that beats out, like you said, undefeated Boise. I don't get that. I don't understand the concept. National championship is supposed to be that. And here's even more so. Let's go to a damn playoff system.
I agree. Hey, we have to take a quick break. We'll be right back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Lynn Johnson.
And they do it. Don't you love how we could just turn Gary on and off like that? I figured out I have a mute button, Jimmy, and I could just keep talking, and I can mute him, and you and I could talk.
I'm pretty sweet. Kidding. It's a good deal. It's a good deal.
Sweet deal. It's a good deal. But, yeah, I know he had to go to a break. It's obviously the day before election. He's got a lot of political commercials to get put in there. But I guess I will ask you that question. What do you think if Oklahoma or Oregon lose, do they beat out Boise State in the national title game?
Oklahoma State, Oklahoma or Oregon? Well, I mean, you're asking if they get in ahead of Boise State despite already having a loss.
Basically, here's what I'm saying. Please tell me one loss, Oklahoma or Oregon, doesn't get a title game bid over an undefeated Boise. I guess that's the way I should have worded it.
Well, I hope they don't, but you know, I'm afraid that what we've looked at the past few years, that they might end up getting a look over them. Now, I don't know exactly how likely that scenario is. I think Boise will get a BCS game regardless if they finish undefeated. I'm not sure which one they'll get. It could be, you know, a rematch of the Fiesta Bowl a few years ago, Oklahoma-Boise State. I'd like to see Boise State-Oregon, something like that, but I don't know if I don't think either Oregon or Oklahoma is going to jump Boise State in the BCS rankings with that one loss, or at least I hope that's not the case. But I don't think that any of those teams are going to get a chance to play in the national title game if things meet out as it looks like they will. I don't think Alabama loses again. Stanford may indeed lose again, but I don't think there's a way that Oklahoma State and Stanford and Alabama – all drop another game to give those three teams, Oregon, Oklahoma, and you know, because Oregon plays Stanford again too, so that'll be interesting to see. But giving those three teams a chance to get into the national title picture, I think, is going to be a little hard for them to pull off.
Right, and I totally agree. I don't believe, and I'm with you on this. It's just the way the system is set up. I don't understand, it doesn't even have to be as large. We don't have to have as large of a playoff as we do in basketball, but we have the same schools, NCAA. You have the same type of schools. You could go to a playoff system and still call the bowl game when they get to a bowl or whatever playoff game that they're at. You could still call it whatever you want to call it for all your marketing dollars. But I do agree with you. Going to my point is I don't believe one loss, Oklahoma or Oregon, could bypass an undefeated Boise State. But a one-loss SEC team might just get the cards to fall right. Although if everyone loses and it's just LSU and Boise State undefeated, it would be better to put the Broncos in the title game. It proves the BCS actually works. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I agree. Say what?
Okay. No, I was saying we're waiting to go back with Gary, and we're getting ready to join him right now, but we'll finish this right up in 2 seconds.
First, the Fiend 2 has not come in yet. All right, we are back on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Winter is rapidly approaching, and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. Again, that is 317-523-8414. Or you can go online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. If you cannot remember that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. That is literally the political and sports epicenter of the universe. I don't know, is that even a correct sentence? I don't know. And plus, while you're there, we have polls up through the end of the evening. You can vote on who you want to be the mayor of Huntington and Marion. Vote now. Just since we have been on the air today, over 120 votes. We are up over 600 now. Keep it up. Keep voting. And we'll see how those returns jive with the actual returns. All right, Jimmy, taking a look at the taking a look at the Hoosiers over the weekend. They played Ohio State real tough in a weekend that saw a lot of near upsets, at least. The Hoosiers hung in there strong, very impressed with their offense. The defense stepped up a little bit and made it a very interesting game, with IU actually having the ball with about 4 minutes to go in the game with a chance to tie.
Yeah, that it was a lot more interesting than I expected it to be. I went on record with both of you guys saying that I thought it was going to be a blowout. It didn't end up being that way, and I will say that I think a lot of that has to do with how Ohio State approached the game. There was a possibility that kind of game could happen. The final score wasn't exactly indicative of how competitive the game was. 34-20, I believe, was the final. But, you know, IU really did play hard, jumped out to a 10-0 lead, tied the game a couple times, tied it at 13 apiece, and then came back, tied it at 20 apiece. They didn't want to go away. But Ohio State's offensive play calling had a lot to do with that. Luke Fickell, he had Braxton Miller throw the ball 11 times, only completed 5 of those passes. And so many of those throws were to the sideline, quick passes, where the IU defense was able to defend them. Middle of the field was pretty open for most of the day, and there were some situations where Miller got in a 3rd and 19 and was able to complete it for 25 yards and a first down. Defense got to Miller a few times, did a pretty good job, 6 sacks, best performance of the season. But I really think there are a couple things the offense for Ohio State could have done to avoid letting it be as close as it was. They had 3 separate guys run for over 100 yards. Dominated IU at the point of attack a few times. But overall, the defense had a pretty solid day, a lot better than they have played. And like you said, the offense played a lot better, didn't seem to miss DeMarlo Belcher, Deweese Wilson all that much. Kofi Hughes had the best day from a receiver since Tandon Doss last year against Michigan. And overall, Trey Roberson acquitted
Tandon
himself well.
Tandon who, I'm sorry?
Performed. Say what?
Tandon who? I didn't catch that.
Tandon Doss.
Okay,
last year,
just
receiver against Michigan. Yeah, the offense acquitted itself pretty well. 20 points at Ohio State at the Horseshoe was better than they did last year. So I guess they can take that.
Tom, you got anything?
In closing here, I know we're running out of time here, but and I asked this question kind of as a teaser on the break, but really, I mean, I think IU played better than they have all year long, and maybe we're getting overexcited and overzealous because of how well IU played against Ohio State. But that's it. I think it was a great moral victory for them, and it was a big, big momentum builder. If IU could play the way they played against Ohio State, can they continue to win to get some good wins inside the conference? Maybe not get a bowl game, but end their season strongly.
They're not gonna beat Michigan State, I don't believe. They have to go to East Lansing, and as good as this performance was, I do think a lot of it had to do with matchups. I thought that Ohio State would dominate them at the point of attack, and they did that. The quarterback play was kind of disappointing. Like I said this before, I don't remember who I said it to exactly, but if there was a different offensive coordinator planning for Ohio State, like if Kevin Wilson was the Ohio State coordinator, they would have racked up some serious points. They were just really conservative with Braxton Miller, and the defense was able to take advantage of that. Kirk Cousins a couple weeks from now will be a totally different animal. And Purdue was going to be a chance to win anyway, so I don't think this game really changes anything. It was nice to see a positive performance all around. But I don't know if it affects their ability to win against Michigan State. I don't like that matchup very much for this team. And Purdue's always a toss-up, especially with these two teams this year. So I'm happy that they played as well as they did. I don't think it changes much.
Well, it looks to me like the kids that are playing now have bought into this system. Maybe their talent level is not there, but they've bought into the system, they've bought into Coach Wilson.
Yeah, something really quick just to add. I know the show's rapidly coming to an end. Alexander Webb, the junior safety, fractured his arm in the 2nd quarter, played the rest of the game. He's out for the season. He played the rest of the game, including a brutal, vicious fourth quarter hit on Braxton Miller. So this kid played 2 quarters with a broken arm and delivered the most vicious hit of the game at the end of the game after dealing with that. for an extended period of time.
Well, and like I ask, and, you know, we have about 30 seconds here. It appears that the players that Coach Wilson has out there now, while the talent level may not be there, they seem to be buying into him and his system.
Yep, they're finally playing hard.
Tom, anything else?
Well, we're going to replay the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. I'm sure that the political conversations will continue again tomorrow. But you can catch us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. Follow us on Twitter, TBalance, or stalk us on Facebook. Just search The Balance.
All right, Jimmy, all of your good stuff.
Just check me out on iusportcom.com. I host a radio show on WIUX.org or WX99.1, 10 to 11 every Friday morning.
All right, I want to thank both of you for joining us. I want to thank our other guest today, Al Roker. Does he need an introduction? Check out his new show Wednesday at 9 p.m. on the Weather Channel, Coast Guard Alaska. I've seen an advanced showing of that. It's great. Jim Brunner, running for Marion City Council, Ward 3. Abby Phillip, White House reporter for Politico.com. I want to thank all of those guests. Again, go to GaryLSnyder.com. Vote for who you want to be Marion, mayor of Marion and Huntington, and we'll have those results for you. You've been listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there are parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More!
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 Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And welcome back to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us for the first hour, our live part of the show. Now, coming up right here in just a moment, we're going to basically go to the second hour of the Gary L. Snyder Show, and I'll join in about halfway through that. So in other words, you'll hear my lovely voice again in about 30 minutes or so right here on the Balance Radio Network. And one of the Andy Lyons, wait a minute, no, maybe it wasn't Andy Lyons. I went too far. Yeah, was that today? Nope, that was Gary never gets me the notes over just exactly the way that they should be, but that's okay. We'll get it going. Anyway, okay, I guess I don't have that here as I had originally thought that I did have on who all is going to be in this. Oh, it's Monday. What do you do on a Monday? I'm telling you what. Well, he took it down. So anyway, I've got a brain fart on who the guest will be. But anyway, so he's coming up here right here on the second hour on the Gary Snyder Show. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Join us tomorrow for a very special Election Day coverage. We'll be talking politics all during the show, throughout the entire show. I'll be joining Gary somewhere around the 4:30 mark.
Eastern time, that is. And how did you like that extra hour of sleep that we got? Wasn't it nice? It's always nice when you can get a little extra sleep. How many of you guys actually went to church an hour early? Earliest you've ever been to church, huh? My name's Tom Marcus. I'll catch you guys tomorrow right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Hey guys, this is Tony Kanaan, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, the best in town.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing.
All right, we're back here. Maybe, unless you want to listen to the Beatles a little more. I think I got 30 seconds to go. All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our next guest, which is Jim Brunner, you all know him. You don't need me to introduce him, but just in case. Marion City Council District 3, he's going to talk to us about his reelection bid. He needs your vote tomorrow, and he's going to tell you why you should vote for him. But first, our sponsor this hour, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. They are your hometown Chevy and used car dealership. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car or truck you are looking for at the price no one will beat. When I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated, and there shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are the one-stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Call 866-466 1956. Ask for Barry. You know the saying. He's always, you know, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Visit him at barrybunker.com or visit their store at 1307 North Wabash Avenue in Marion and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. Of course, I should not have to say this, but I'm going to anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor, Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, Jim, welcome.
Hello, Gary. A couple things real quick. Number one, when you play a little Sergeant Pepper, I'm old enough to remember when I heard that album for the first time, and it's kind of like, you know, what did you think the first time you heard that JFK got assassinated, or what did you think the first time you heard that Magic Johnson had AIDS, which was 20 years ago today, by the way.
I did not know that.
Yes, but never forget the first time I heard that great album. And number two, please be sure that everybody understands that I am here under the equal opportunity FCC rules, because you did have my opponent on several weeks ago, and you have asked me and were nice enough to give me equal time, and I'm here taking advantage of that equal time on this radio station, and this place does look a little familiar to me. So,
hey, that's the way I roll here on the
okay,
Gary Snyder
right.
Show.
Fair, fair, fair.
All right, you are up for re-election tomorrow.
Yes.
Tell us about why you want to continue on the Marion City Council.
Well, I think if anybody would look around what has happened the last 4 years, you know, my opponent has come out and said that it's time to put an end to politics as usual. Well, I would like to remind people what politics as usual has produced over the last 4 years. Number one, it's produced twice as many jobs at our General Motors plant, and we've had a $500 million with a B dollar investment by General Motors, and that has all happened in the last 4 years, and boy, you can only imagine where we would be if that did not occur. We have those gorgeous new gardens and playgrounds at Motter Park. I'm very much involved with the Park Department because I am the liaison to the Park Department and work very closely with them. We have added a gorgeous new YMCA, a $10 million investment to an area that was you know, about ready to be torn down, the old Memorial Coliseum. People still walk in there with tears in their eyes realizing what we were able to do with that dilapidated building. We about are, and I know you're excited about this, are ready to add a brand new sports arena and hockey franchise on the east side of town. In fact, I talked to those folks over the weekend, and things are really moving forward. We're about done with phase one and getting ready to move toward phase two. I think for the people, especially in the center city area, the thing that makes them the happiest, over the last 4 years, we have torn down 400 dilapidated homes. And if you live next to a home that needs to be torn down and it is not torn down, you know what it does to the depreciation of your home and just the livability of living in your home. So those people literally have been crying with thankfulness when we've been able to do that for them at no expense to them. Obviously, if you just go about another 10 blocks to the south here and see the gorgeous new water park and wave pool that we have added, that has done so much for the quality of life in our community. The expansion of Indiana Wesleyan is beyond description. The governor was here over the past week and said what everybody else says when they walk through there and haven't been there maybe for a year or two. It's just mind-boggling what has been accomplished with that facility. It is the fastest-growing private-owned university in the state of Indiana. One thing that we're so proud of, Gary, we've been able to add free bus rides for our citizens. 1,500 people per day take advantage of those, and when you think about gas prices, which the last time I looked, city councilmen and the mayor do not have a chance to work on lowering those gas prices. So what we do, we work on lowering the prices of what people can do when it comes to getting around our community, and so many people are able to take advantage of those free bus rides. 1,500 people per day getting around this fair city. We've paved 16 miles of roads in the past 365 days. And we've had tremendous cooperation, and maybe if you're a little new to the community, you don't know how vicious the cooperation used to be between Marion and Gas City, working on both the I-69 and 18 corridor and the I-69 and 22 corridors, and now Mayor Leach and Mayor Siebold have worked so well in unison to make those a tremendous success. And if you just drive by those areas, you'll know what I'm talking about. Those are just 10 of the items that I have written down as what politics as usual have produced in this community. My opponent says it's time to put an end to politics as usual, so maybe he doesn't like those 10 things, but I think most people would, and if you like those things, there's many more on the horizon, and we would certainly appreciate a vote for the Republican team tomorrow at the polls.
So when he talks about politics as usual, putting an end to that, you take exception to that?
Yeah. We've worked pretty hard on a lot of these items, and as you well know, I, being the Sports Authority president, and by the way, I do not receive a penny for that. That is all volunteer work on my part, and you know how hard I've been working on that. That is the next big thing on the horizon. Just the thought of having a hockey franchise for this community, the thought of having a 5,000-seat arena where we can bring in family shows and concerts and rodeos and circuses, and already Indiana Wesleyan and Taylor have told us that they have national events that would like to come in here and be part of that facility, and then you can only imagine once that arena is built, what's going to happen around it with hotels and restaurants and shops. So that will be the next major expansion of this community if and when we get that baby put to bed. And hopefully with phase one just about done and phase two on the horizon, we hope to have hockey and that arena built and ready to go within the next 11 months.
So when your opponent gets on the radio or in print or on the web and says, I don't think this is happening, you respond by saying,
well, last time I talked to Val Bomani, who's part of Game 7 and ever the people putting this on, he tells me absolutely, quote-unquote, everything is A-OK and moving toward completion. In fact, I got a call today from the mayor. They got some more good news that we're just about ready to put the end of Phase 1. The weather has been extremely cooperative to us. Just go out there and see how much earth we moved out there as they get ready to begin to build that building. It's going to happen, Gary.
Well, one of the things I think that carries this election and probably more in this election than most is jobs here in Marion. And Marion still carries an over 10% unemployment rate, still one of the highest in the area. Without your leadership on city council, would the situation be worse?
Well, all you have to do is go back several years ago to when we lost the Thompson Consumer plant and lost 2,000 well-paying jobs. Yes, there was a lot of unemployment when that happened, and it doesn't. You just don't go out and replace that that facility overnight. Certainly, what's been accomplished out at the General Motors plant with doubling their size in the last 4 years has helped. You know, some of those things that I've talked about, that new sports arena and that entire area out there would certainly be a big boom for jobs. And we're looking at what's going on at Indiana Wesley, and they are becoming perhaps one of the largest employers in our community, because every time you put a new building up, every time you add, you know, now they're putting this incredible medical facility together, it just takes a number of people, A, to build those, and then B, more importantly, to run those type of facilities and to teach in those facilities. So, and those are well-paying jobs. So looking forward to the continued growth of Indiana Wesleyan University.
One of the, concerns that your opponent has is that the city of Marion has been giving way too many abatements, tax breaks out to businesses, and I think I heard him discuss this morning, and we're not getting the return on investment. Your response is?
Cost of doing business. That's the way the game is played. When people come to your community, they'll say to you, we have five different cities we're looking at coming to. We're going to choose one of those five. Four of the other five have already told us we can get a tax abatement. What do you say, sir? And obviously you either say, nope, can't do it, and they walk out the door, or you say, yes, we can play that game because that's the way the game is played.
Hey, can you hold through the break?
Sure.
You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Hi, this is Tracy Boatwright. I had the honor of serving on the Marion City Council in the state legislature and as Indiana State Fire Marshal. Now I'm asking you to support Lynn Johnson for mayor of Marion. Lynn was born and raised in Marion. She's a graduate of Ball State University. Lynn was the owner and manager of the Country Shed Restaurant here in Marion. Since 1993, Lynn has owned Johnson Management, a small business that specializes in helping businesses improve their organizational efficiency. Lynn has been a friend for over 25 years and is also my accountant. I have complete trust in her competence and in taking care of my finances. Lynn's common sense and her experience as a corporate manager and a small business owner will be an asset for the city of Marion. I know she will work hard to do what is best for the people of Marion. On November the 8th, cast your ballot for Lynn Johnson for mayor.
Paid for by Pam Hutchison and authorized by the committee to elect Lynn Stribe Johnson for mayor.
Common sense, experience, and leadership for Marion. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison for Marion City Council at large. They agree with the Marion Chronicle Tribune editorial, which said, to require taxpayers to provide the more than $100,000 budgeted to cover health insurance costs for city council members is just wrong. All three Republican incumbent at-large city council members support keeping the city paid health insurance for council members. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison believe that city council members do not deserve $100,000 in benefits for these part-time jobs. As your city council members, they will work to eliminate this perk. On November 8th, remember, common sense, experience, and leadership for Marion. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison for Marion City Council at large.
Paid for by Pam Hutchison.
This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Social Distortion doing their cover of Johnny Cash's Ring of Fire. Can't beat that. Except unless maybe Johnny Cash was doing it, but that would be kind of weird since, yeah, he's dead. Schaefer's Indiana Turf, they're up in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall, which, I don't know. But they're also there for all of your snow removal needs this winter, including the new Ariens Snow Throw Snow Blowers, Gravely Mowers, and of course, they're one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. If you're actually doing it, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens, Snowthrow, Snowblowers, Gravely and Hustler Mowers, and they even have the Echo Chainsaws and Leaf Blowers. Keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is, Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Call today, 260-489-3391, or visit them up at their store just up the highway in Fort Wayne at 5202 West Washington Center Road. Of course, you can always go online at indianaturf.com. And remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jim Brunner. He is the Marion City Council. Is it District Ward?
Ward 3.
Ward 3.
Northwest side of the city.
And he is running for re-election. All right, we talk about, and your opponent talks about what you have or have not done in the past. But let's look forward a little bit, because that's what elections are about. If you're re-elected, what do you hope to accomplish in your next term?
Well, the first thing on the agenda is obviously the sports arena, the hockey franchise, and all the things that's going to bring.
Which you got to get that done.
That has to get done. That's an absolute must get done, must do. Obviously, we are working on a number of other buildings. The Five Points Mall, Gary, is certainly in my ward and is something that those people have made a major commitment to the tune of about $5 million of renovating the inside, the outside, adding some new tenants. They got a tenant right now that's getting ready to come into the big box on the south end of it that used to have Stephen Barry's. They've also got some other national people that are looking at them. And they really feel by doing some modernization of the inside and outside and even do some of the just the phone lines and the computer lines and the things that go in and out of that building, they really think that in the next year they could really make that a much more viable shopping area, and that would be huge for this community. Because when you think about Marion, so much has happened to the south end of the community, and since the north end was always the hub of the business, maybe sometimes you have a habit of maybe not thinking about the north end. So getting that Five Points Mall up and really rolling, I think, would be another major project for the next 12 months.
Well, let me ask, is my billboard in your district?
Just to the south of it.
I was going to say, maybe you can make a promise to get rid of that eyesore.
In fact, it's very, very close. It may be almost right on the border. So I know I enjoy seeing that. I enjoy seeing your smiling face up there.
Scares people of what I've been told.
I have not done my homework while I've got you here real quickly. Who is running for mayor in Huntington? Is that a hotly contested race up there?
You would like to hope so. You have Brooks Fetters, who beat six Republicans running for the nomination back in the spring, including our mayor now, and he finished third. You have a Democrat that's running and an independent, but Huntington is just so. I mean, you could literally put up Bozo as a Republican and he would win. So.
You said that, I didn't. Let me
ahead.
Finish my thought because I'm getting off on a tangent here and I should not do that with limited time. One of the other things we want to try to maintain is the tremendous ability that we've had as a council to get along, not only with ourselves but also with the mayor. You may not know this. There was a time that people literally would have parties to watch the city council meetings because there was so much screaming and yelling and arguing. We have not had that. The Democrats get along with the Republicans. The Republicans get along with the Democrats. And I think all of us believe the same thing, and that is you take care of the people in your ward first. When we had the vote on whether or not to privatize water, I had 117 phone calls. Counted every one of them, and every one of them said, do not vote for this. That's why I voted no. I had close to 100 phone calls when they were considering doing dual laning of the major streets downtown. That's why I voted no on that issue. And I had well over 100 responses telling me that do not allow another nursing home to come in here with some tax incentives because we can't even fill the nursing homes we have in this community. I was outvoted by the council on that one, but I voted the way the people in my ward wanted me to vote. And that's, I think, so important. Sometimes you see people say, well, I don't care what people in my ward say. I know more than they do. No, you don't. you represent the constituents in your ward 100% of the time. And one thing that was interesting, we did about 2.5-3 years ago when we were doing some budget hearings, we had a chance to really sit down with some people over about a week period and ask them what they wanted in this community. And I wish Justin was sitting here because he'd be happy. The number one thing they told us, Gary, and they still tell us, top-notch police, top-notch fire department. We have cut crime in this community, and that's something a lot of people don't talk about. I walk my three dogs every night after midnight, and very safe to walk in my ward, even at that late hour. And our fire department, I think, is absolutely incredible. They have endorsed me, by the way, in my candidacy, and I thank them for that. And those are some hardworking individuals. And all you have to do is go spend about a day with any of our policemen or any of our firemen, and you'll find just how professional of a job they do. And that's what the people, not only in my ward, but the city have said to us, don't ever compromise our protection.
And just from dealing with Justin and the chief and Justin doing his show here, you know, I can, I guess, vouch for the professionalism that they offer. Now, nationally, we see a lot of contention, Republicans not willing to reach across the aisle to Democrats not reaching across, a lot of bitterness, a lot of basically visceral reaction to anything anybody puts forward. So what you're telling me is you listen to your constituents, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican proposal, and you're not afraid to buck the party trend if need be.
In fact, I had some of the Democratic high-ups tell me the reason they did not slate a candidate against me in the third ward was they felt I did a heck of a job of listening to the people in my ward and really felt I represented the ward, be it Democrat or Republican. I will also say this about the council I currently serve on. I sat on four different school boards through the years, and this is the second term I've had on the city council. It is easily the most professional group of people I've ever been associated with. I can't remember one meeting where anybody's ever gotten out of line. I can't remember any time when somebody tried to one-up somebody else on the council. It is a very fine group of professional people that I have the opportunity to work with, and some people call this a part-time job. Uh-uh. It's a full-time job.
I'm surprised you stayed in politics after being on a school board. I sat on a school board.
And you know what that's like.
You know, I mean, from day one, you know who your friends are.
This is a great point a city councilman made to me one time when I was on the school board, and I never forgot what he said. He said, when you're dealing with people's children, you cannot win because that's flesh and blood. When you're on a city council, you're dealing with sidewalks and streets and tax abatements, and he said sometimes it's a lot easier to get along with people when you're dealing with their sidewalks and their streets and picking up their garbage and picking up their snow compared to doing things with their children. So I have found it much more enjoyable to be a city councilman than I did being a school board member.
All right, close the case here.
Tremendous things are going on. We've done that with a balanced budget, a frozen tax rate, and a top-shelf bond rating. Please get out and vote tomorrow. Vote Republican. Vote Jim Brunner, City Council Ward 3. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Jim.
Common sense, experience, and leadership for Marion. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison for Marion City Council at Large. They agree with the Marion Chronicle Tribune editorial, which said, to require taxpayers to provide the more than $100,000 budgeted to cover health insurance costs for city council members is just wrong. All three Republican incumbent at-large city council members support keeping the city paid health insurance for council members. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison believe that city council members do not deserve $100,000 in benefits for these part-time jobs. As your city council members, they will work to eliminate this perk. On November 8th, remember, common sense, experience, and leadership for Marion. Paul Thompson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Pam Hutchison for Marion City Council at Large.
Paid for by Pam Hutchison.
Did you know that pancreatic cancer is the fourth leading cause of cancer-related death? A mere 6% of those diagnosed will survive more than 5 years. However, Global Cure is working to reverse the trend and find a cure for pancreatic cancer in our lifetime. Through cutting-edge clinical trials, a dedicated team is getting closer to the cure, but they need your help in raising awareness and funding. Visit mattressfirm.com/charity to find out how you can help.
WBAT, brought to you by Stanley Steamer, where we appreciate your business. Call us today at 384-4470. Remember, living brings dirt in. Stanley Steamer takes it out.
Hello, this is Henry Smith, president of Indiana Wesleyan University. Again this year, Indiana Wesleyan is joining hands with the Salvation Army to help needy children in the Grant County area. Please be an angel and sponsor a needy child in our community this holiday season. Stop by the Five Points Mall in Marion or this radio station at 820 South Pennsylvania Street. Pick up the name of a child whose wish is on the card for you to purchase a gift. Be an angel this holiday season. Help the angel tree. Thank you.
Hello, this is Gunner from the Ice House. Recently, as you know, my father, Steve Rosley, better known as the Iceman, passed away, leaving a big hole in our community. Some of our good friends spoke with Connie and myself about a scholarship fund in my dad's name at the Community Foundation. And since Dad touched so many lives of the people in the community of Marion, Connie and I can think of no better way to honor him than to create a fund that will carry on his tradition of giving back. If you'd like to participate, please make your donations out to the Community Foundation with Rosley in the memo line. We want to thank you in advance for your participation, and as my dad would always say, thank you, friends.
Bringing local news to Gaff City, Jonesboro, and all of Grant County. We are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The Marion Fire Department has promoted three members of its staff. Veteran firefighters Mike Walker and Jason Hale have both been promoted to captains in the department. Walker has been with the department for 13 years, and Hale has been a Marion firefighter for 9 years. And Tino Michener has been promoted to full-time firefighter status, having successfully fulfilled his one-year probationary status. And a former Huntington man faces fraud charges and may face federal counterfeiting charges in connection with counterfeit bills that were found in Huntington businesses recently. Police arrested 24-year-old Jeffrey Denton Jr. after he tried to pass a fake $100 bill at the Huntington Walmart. Denton first told police that he didn't know where the bill came from, but later confessed to making it himself. Investigators say Denton, who now lives in Fort Wayne, was able to remove the ink from a $5 bill and change it to a $100, but the fake bill was caught by store employees. Another fake $100 was discovered at another Huntington business last week, and police believe Denton was responsible for it as well. And finally, Miami County's budget for next year may still change as officials wait for the next step in the process. The county's budget was sent to the state at the beginning of the month, and now county officials are waiting for the Indiana Department of Local Government Finance to either approve it or ask for reductions. For 2012, the council approved a budget of $9.8 million, which has council members divided. Some say it's the worst budget they've seen in 7 years, while others expect to reduce the budget. The reason some expect reductions will be necessary is because while the budget the council approved is $9.8 million, the tax levy can only provide $4.8 million. From the 1400 WBAT Newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of today, mostly cloudy and mild with a chance of showers, highs around 62. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers, lows around 50. And tomorrow, Election Day, partly cloudy, breezy, and mild, highs near 70 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
This is the Gary Snyder Show, and I am Andrew Breitbart, sort of the king of all media.
Like or hate that song? Most people, it's one or the other. All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our guest. Oh, if you were wondering, Dr. Conrad Murray, get ready for prison, buddy. You are guilty. Yes, Dr. Conrad Murray is guilty of, I don't know, manslaughter, something like that, for the death of Michael Jackson, and he will be seeing some time, most likely, in prison, where they love to play doctor, I hear. Even if you're a real one. All right. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus. That's in addition to, for all of you St. Louis Cardinal fans out there, a competitive FSE, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500 plus miles a week, and they are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes, with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, then give Ray a call. You better hurry up. He probably goes home here in a few to eat dinner. 866-397-2581. You can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. If you cannot remember all that, all you really have to remember, GaryLSnyder.com, the center of the political and sports universe on the internet, GaryLSnyder.com. And while you are there, don't forget, you are running out of time to vote in our online polls. Who do you want to be mayor of Huntington? Who do you want to be mayor of Marion? Over 500 of you have voted so far. Keep it up. Let's see if we can't get to about 750 before this all ends tonight. All right. Now, we are joined, first of all, by our co-host from 4:30 to 6, Tom Marquis. Say hi.
Salutations.
And even better yet, sorry, Tom. We're joined by White House reporter for Politico.com, Abby Phillip. Abby, welcome.
Hi, great to be here.
All right, Abby, a lot to talk about. I guess the first one to talk about, Gloria Allred, which let me preface this question by saying anytime I see Gloria Allred's pie hole on TV with a so-called victim, she loses credit. Whoever that victim is loses credibility with me. But this Herman Cain controversy seems to not be dying, number one. And number two, seems to actually be having the Bill Clinton effect on his candidacy and actually seems to be helping it a little bit.
Well, Gloria Allred is anything if not effective at getting attention, and she certainly did that today, bringing out a sort of made-for-TV alleged victim of sexual harassment by Herman Cain, and really taking the story that has been evolving over the last week and a half to a level that we haven't seen just yet. There are a lot of questions out there about exactly what this woman is trying to say about what occurred, whether these things are true, and just, as you alluded to, how the American people are going to respond to this woman who's well-known as a sort of celebrity lawyer who kind of appears at moments that are opportune, perhaps for her career, and gets a lot of attention for it. It will remain to be seen how that will impact, you know, how voters see this whole controversy, and certainly how Republican voters see this controversy, because I think we know so far that Herman Cain hasn't actually lost a whole lot of support from the Republican voters, who are frankly the only people who matter at this stage in the campaign.
Now, you really don't have to respond to what I'm going to say, but I think she's really the white woman's version of Al Sharpton.
I mean, on some level, she is a professional lawyer that specializes in these very high-profile cases. She specializes in having, an agenda in getting attention and getting her clients' attention. And those are the kinds of things, you know, I don't think she's very apologetic about that. And I think she brings that to this table, and she's appeared today to be more than happy to kind of to raise the stakes, if you will, for Herman Cain in a way that only she knows how.
Tom.
Well, you know, first of all, it's great to have you. It's always good to talk with you. A couple things, I guess, that I would have on the list. One that I find highly suspect about this new person was a soundbite that I heard today. That basically, here's what she says. For the most part, she says, "I did not want to be here today. The only reason that I'm here is because I want to speak out for women who have been harassed. I wouldn't have said anything had it not been for these other women coming forward." That, to me, is not a good thing. And then part two of my question would be, if I understand the timeline correctly, and do correct me if I'm wrong, but was not this story broke and brought to the surface by your organization as well?
Well, yeah, Politico was the first to report some of these allegations. One thing that I'll say sort of in response to your point, which is a real good one, which is that there are going to be lots of questions about this woman's motives. Why is she more than happy to kind of be out front on these alleged things that occurred more than a decade ago? By comparison, the other women who have been reported on by Politico and by other news organizations have been far more reticent to come out and talk about their allegations, even when there's proof based on the settlements that we know about that that there was a situation involving Mr. Cain in the mid-90s. This woman will serve two purposes, and I think this will evolve as we go forward this week. One is just about her being a public face for some of these allegations, just a human being in front of cameras who people who are watching this can look at and try to determine whether they believe what she's saying or not. The other thing is that she has some credibility issues to work out herself. People are going to want to know why she's coming out, why she chose to come out front with a lawyer who's well known to be to defend sort of celebrity clients or put their issues out there, and people are going to want to kind of establish a sense of whether they can trust her. And based on her performance today, I have to say that the theatrics of it do not bode well for the American people taking a sober look at this and really kind of putting this woman in the category of the victim, which I think she would like, which is where she would like to be placed. She runs the risk, perhaps, of putting herself too far out there and actually breeding distrust among the people who are kind of the spectators and potential voters.
Now, as we take a look at this, how does this impact the Republican nominating process? Not necessarily that it's going to affect Herman Cain, because I think, as we've seen, his poll numbers as of yet have really yet to be affected. His fundraising, well, heck, he's using this as a fundraising effort. But at what point do the Republicans take a step back and say, okay, hold on a minute, because our nominee eventually has to run against Barack Obama? And while this may not be an issue in the Republican primaries, it may be an issue in a general election.
My colleague Alex Burns had a great story this morning about what the GOP establishment is thinking about Herman Cain and about what role he's playing in this primary.
I know, that's why I asked it.
Right. There's a sense out there that that they have already kind of written him off, that this is sort of the death nail for his candidacy, and regardless of what happens among in this early stage in the primary among diehard Republicans who are bound to give him the benefit of the doubt, they've written off his potential as a mainstream candidate. And on some level, that's not that's for some of these members of the GOP establishment, if you will, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you know it sort of feeds into this idea that Herman Cain has been a great distraction, has been a great thing for the base, but at the end of the day, when it comes to running up against Barack Obama, they need a candidate who is ultimately more mainstream and perhaps doesn't have these kinds of skeletons in his closet.
Go ahead, Tom.
And I guess I kind of want to shift gears a little bit, because really, here's my thing. All this is going to go away. If Cain gets the nomination, all this is going to go away. All of those people that said, look at how bad Cain is. Look at all the bad stuff he's doing. Oh, now we all got to rally against behind him. If he doesn't get the nomination, then all of this is a moot issue. So I guess really what I want to look at is one of the most important things is here we have, again, a Democratic president and White House ignoring subpoenas that are given to them by the House of Representatives, and they have no intention of complying with this. Why is it that whenever we have a Democratic White House that won't comply with subpoenas, it's no big deal? But when you have George Bush and necessarily question subpoenas, it's blown into a huge issue.
Tom, I think you bring up a really good point again, and that is that the White House is two things I'll say about that. The White House is being severely overshadowed by the Republican primary at this stage. That has been to their benefit at this point, because it's distracted the American people largely from a lot of these inquiries that are going on surrounding Department of Energy contracts and Fast and Furious, the Department of Justice program that has drawn scrutiny in Congress, and it's allowed them to kind of try to deal with these issues while they're on the back burner, whether it's in when it comes to cable news or the American voters. On the other hand, there have been a lot of stories this past weekend in particular that are well worth a read about how difficult it is, the task that this president has in front of him. He's facing one of the worst reelection climates for an incumbent in more than 20 years, and I don't think that's going to go away. That has a lot more to do with the economy. It has a lot to do with voters who don't find that he's been the arbiter of change that he ran as, and I don't think that the White House is going to get away with that. When this presidential election cycle gets to the general election stage, I think there's no question that all of these issues that are on the back burner now will suddenly be on the front burner, and the White House will have to answer for them.
Hey, Abby, can you hold through a real quick break?
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Get your holiday groove on with a wonderful series of events coming to Marion. Don't miss the Christmas City Parade on Saturday, November 19th. The Walkway of Lights opens that weekend and runs through December 31st. Bring your friends and family out for one of Marion's real treasures. And on November 28th, don't miss the Christmas City Chorus presenting a Victorian Caroling Christmas at the Shiloh Conference Center. Happy Holidays! This message is brought to you by the Grant County Convention and Visitors Bureau.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to our guest, Abby Phillip, White House reporter from Politico.com. Winter is rapidly approaching, although you won't be able to tell today and tomorrow, but hey, it's coming, trust me. and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Call them today, 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Or you can go online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. All right, Abby, we have this November 23rd deadline looming for the Super Committee. Senator Charles Schumer, Chucky, came out today and said, you know, my guess is nothing's going to get done with that Super Committee. And obviously I'm paraphrasing because senators don't talk like that. You know, a lot of doom and gloom coming from the Democratic side of the aisle on whether something can get accomplished on this Super Committee.
Part of that, I think, has a lot to do with testing out this, what might happen if the Super Committee doesn't end up producing recommendations by their deadline, and that is that they, Democrats might want to just blame this on, you know, a Republican House or Republican opposition or intransigence or what have you. They're testing out that message. I'm not convinced that that's going to really work, because as you and perhaps everyone listening probably already knows, Democrats control the House of Representatives and contribute half of the members to that committee. So they are equally responsible, and I think will be held equally responsible by the American people for their failure to produce something to deal with this problem.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I guess my apologize, I'm at the gas pump. I guess one of my other biggest question is, how much of a issue do you really think that Obama's going to have to get reelected? I guess what I could see happening, I killed Obama. He killed himself, not Michael Jackson. I killed Bin Laden. You know, I put all these bad guys down, you know, one thing after another. He's really going to make himself look like the hero and create a lot of distractions and really play that race card hard. What do you think is going to be the biggest obstacle for the GOP to accomplish to get a new president in office?
Well, there are two things I think that will go on in the general, and one of them is a case that the GOP nominee, whoever that is, has to make about their own electability, their own ability to be commander-in-chief. That's not going to be a foregone conclusion. I think every time that we do this as a country, the American people want to know, and they want proof that whoever that they vote for can handle the job. And I think the GOP nominee is going to need to do that. I think on the other side of that, though, the White House is going to also be making a similar argument in favor of Obama, saying, as you alluded to, that he has excelled as in the commander-in-chief part of his job description by taking care of some of this country's biggest enemies. So that's, I think, in and of itself going to be a debate that both sides are going to have to handle. On the other hand, as with everything else, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's all about the economy. And there's no question about it that Obama is going to have to prove that he has done something about the economy, and the Republican nominee is going to have to also prove that whatever ideas they have are better than what's on the table currently. Both of those things are difficult for both sides to accomplish, and I don't think that either side has an easy task ahead of them. I think the president, you know, is facing the problem of being an executive in a democracy like ours, where you have some executive powers, but by and large, your powers are limited and checked by the legislature. And he's had a really difficult time working with this legislature, and he's going to have to answer for that as well.
All right, Abby, last question for you, and this has to do with the Occupy Wall Street people. We've been discussing this now for two to three weeks, and I want to put this in context with the Jack Abramoff interview last night on 60 Minutes, which, by the way, he will be my guest here on November 15th. That interview made me sick, the way that he was able to get access and basically buy congressmen and U.S. senators. Do you think that that adds some kind of credence to what the Occupy Wall Street crowd is trying to accomplish?
I think there's no question that the Jack Abramoff scandal rubs just about everyone the wrong way. It also reflects a kind of disenchantment with the ability of people who have a lot of money to control outcomes in Washington. It also feeds into these same people having frustration with Washington for simply not working on their behalf. Occupy Wall Street protesters are talking about a lot of different things, but the undercurrent is just all about the failure of people who have power to act in the best interest of the people who don't have power. And by and large, I think this past weekend, House Speaker John Boehner was asked about the Occupy Wall Street protesters, and he really went out of his way to not particularly attack them, because I think he recognizes that on some level, the protesters themselves all come from different, walks of life, and there are all these images on the screen, but I think that their underlying message does resonate with a large swath of this country, and I don't think that Republicans and Boehner think it's in their best interest to disregard that. I think they're aware that people are very frustrated with Washington, very frustrated with Congress. Only 9% of this country approves of the job that Congress is doing, and that is by no means something that anyone in either party can ignore.
All right, Abby, thanks a lot for joining us. Real quick, where can people find your work?
At Politico.com. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you next week, Abby.
All right. Talk to you then.
Abby Phillip, White House reporter with Politico.com, offering some great insight into what's happening not only with the Super Committee, but all of the happenings in D.C. And we'll get into that a little bit more next hour. As we continue, we have elections tomorrow, and if you did not see that Jack Abramoff interview last night on 60 Minutes, that's really something you need to go check out. Tom, did you get a chance to see it? Tom is not there. How did I know that? All right, we'll be back right after the bottom of the hour break. No, we're at the top of the hour. Top of the hour break. Here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Another man's arms holding.